7. Last week we looked at Noah. This week we're going to look at Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Going to be starting in verse 8, reading through verse 12. And we will see if we get through verse 12, but we're going to give it a good shot. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. Excuse me. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Excuse me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this, your word. Thank you, Lord, for using Abraham and Sarah. Father, thank you that we can look at his life. We can see the example, an example of faith. And Sarah, too. Lord, thank you that you can use anyone. That you desire faith in us. And Lord God, as that faith happens, Father, you can work, and you do work. And you do give that ability, and you do give that power. Father God, help us to rely upon you. Not upon our own feelings, not upon our own thoughts, not upon our own desires, not upon our own will. But Lord God, on you. As you put those desires there, as you put that will there, Father, let it not be moved by us, but by you. Thank you. Thank you that we can find what you desire for us in your word. Because so often we want to look on outside of your word to anything, but Father, it's in your word, it's in your truth. Thank you for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Well, in Hebrews, where we have come in Hebrews, the writer is seeking to show that Christ is superior. He's seeking to show that Christ is superior to a religious system. The people that he's writing to, some of them wanting to go back under a religious system because of persecution or other reasons, but they wanted to go back under the Judaistic system. They were Jews, and there was security in that. But what he's trying to show is that system pointed to Christ. So Christ is superior to the prophets, to the angels, to Moses, to Abraham, to Aaron, all those, he's superior. And what we find out in chapter 6 is that the problem is unbelief. The problem isn't that they just don't know enough. The problem is that they haven't acted on what they do know. It's unbelief. So he goes on and shows the high priesthood of Christ, and that he is the priest after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal priest. And then what we see is the comparison between the old covenant and the new. And he shows how the new covenant is so much better because it gives you a clear conscience. It's not just a covering over of sin, it's a cleansing from sin. And we get into the warning of apostasy, which is what these folks were wanting to do, some of them. And then we started chapter 11 and saw the definition of faith. The definition of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence, what you would bring to trial to show the judge of things not seen, things that you cannot see. So that is the essence of faith that he's dealing with here. And what we saw is the faith is experienced in creation. We saw Abel, that he worshipped because of faith. We saw Enoch, that he walked with God because of faith. And we saw Noah, that he worked for God because of faith. And in each case, it's a progression, because Noah worshipped God and he walked with God. We saw that in Scripture. But he also worked for God. We saw what he did. And that's how we know his faith. Excuse me. I'm going to have everybody coughing here pretty soon. It's kind of a catchy thing. But that's how we that's how we understand faith, is what God does in people. It's how we see faith. And that's why in James it says it's a living faith. It's faith without works is a dead faith. We see that faith motivates us to something. Last week what we looked at was faith motivated Noah to build an ark, a massive ark, in the middle of nowhere with no water around. And it took 120 years, and he preached to people for that long and never got a convert. No one believed him. And yet what God had said, he believed. So much so that he did. Here we're going to see that again today. In verse 8, we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah's faith life, life of faith. Verse 8, we see Abraham's obedience. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So what we're going to see here is Abraham leaving, and Abraham living by faith, and Abraham looking, what he looked for and what he looked at, which was his true motivation, true heart. But in his leaving, faith was the key. Faith was the key. Remember, that's the motivation. It's shown in what he does. But look what it says. Verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now, that's significant, and we'll get to that a little bit more as we get into this. But it was while he was being called. When, that word when there, it's in the passive voice, or called, it's in the passive voice, which means God was doing the calling. Abraham didn't call himself out of Ur of the Chaldeans. But it's also a participle, which means it's an ongoing, it has ongoing effects. And it's a present tense, which means it happened right then. It was happening. So when he was being called, and we're going to look at that, but he obeyed. He obeyed. Look what it says. When he was called, he obeyed. The word obeyed there is hupakuo. Hupo means under or down under. It's a preposition, down under. And kuo means to hear. So he heard under God. In other words, he put himself under that authority of God speaking. He heard it, took it to heart as being under that authority. So when God called, he heard it. He fell under that authority. It's kind of like a private with a general. A general says, hey, we'll come over here. And the private's going, nah, I don't want it. I don't want to do that. They usually don't do that, you know? Most of the time they don't do that because it has horrible repercussions. But it's a voluntarily putting themselves under. And that's what that word means, to obey. He obeyed. How did he obey? It says he obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. He didn't try to change God's mind on it. He didn't try to shift it a little. He simply obeyed. To go out, going somewhere where he's going to receive for an inheritance. And the interesting thing about that is he didn't know he was going to receive that for an inheritance. Okay? In Genesis chapter 12, I believe. Yeah. Chapter 12. This is the calling that he was called. This is what God told him. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right, that's significant. Because it says here, at the end of verse 8, it says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That word not is that word may. It's very emphatic. No. Absolutely no knowledge of where he is going. But the word knowing is different. The word knowing is interesting. It's not gnosko. Remember, we have two words for know. Gnosko means an experiential type knowledge, to grow an experience and to know something experientially. And oida is that word in the perfect tense, which means to intuitively know it completely, intuitively know it. But he didn't use either one of those words here. It says that he went, God called, he went not knowing. And the word knowing is the word episteme. But it means to put one's attention to or to focus on something, to fix one's thoughts on something. To know in such a way that you are fixing your thoughts on it. You see, when God called Abraham, he gave Abraham a very specific thing. He said, I want you to leave your father's home. I want you to leave where you grew up here. And I want you to go forth and I'm going to bless you. That's what he told him. He didn't tell him where he was going. And Abraham didn't worry about where he was going. Abraham didn't fix his thoughts on where he was going. But at the same time, I want to get this right. The verb that's used for calling, the verb that's used, it's associated with obeying. And when you have those two associated together, what you have, it means that it's kind of happening simultaneously. So in other words, while God was saying, I want you to leave your father's house, I want you to... Abraham's 75 years old. Abraham has grown up in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham has his family, his extended family all around him. And God says, I want you to leave there and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to send you to, and I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to give you... And what those two verbs being associated with each other mean is that while God says, I want you to leave, Abraham's in his mind's going, okay, what do I need to pack? In other words, he was going while God was telling him to go. He was formulating how he was going to go. He could have picked up his shirt and put it in his suitcase while he was being told. It was that type of relation those verbs have together. So in Abraham's mind, God says this, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. I'm obeying. And he did so because, we're going to get to the because. It's really good because we have the same because too. We have the same motivation for it. So, but God said it and Abraham was ready to do it. This is where he grew up, where he knew, this is what he knew. He was 75, and normally by the time we're 75, we're going, you know what, I don't want to move anymore. I just want to stay here, you know. 75, that's a good age to not have to do this again. I'm not 75, and I don't want to move again. I know it's possible, you know, but I really don't. But you would think that, you know, Abraham would have kind of that, but God said it, he's ready. He's ready. Not only is he ready, but he's planning it. It's happening simultaneously. And not only that, but he didn't know where he was going and he didn't worry about it. He didn't even focus his attention on where I'm going. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. Where do you want me to go? No. Okay, Lord, I'm going. Hope you lead me in the right direction. No, he knew he would lead him in the right direction. Abraham had that type of faith, and that's the type of faith we're talking about. God said it. Doesn't matter what direction. God said it. I'm going. Look at verse 9. By faith, again, the same motivation. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. By faith, he lived as an alien. So there's the motivation, but he lived as an alien. And the thing about an alien living in a foreign land is you don't have the rights that a citizen has, right? This was the promised land. And by the way, once he got there, God said, okay, this is the land I'm going to give you. Look around. You see all this land? You're going to get that. But he didn't tell him that until he got there. So Abraham, by faith, went without focusing on where he was going. And God led him. Obviously, he led him. And when he got there, he said, okay, this is the land I promised you. Okay, now that you've shown that, this is what I'm promising you. This is where I'm going to give it to you. How much of that land did Abraham own? None until Sarah died. And then he bought a field. So he has, at the end of his life, he's got one field with his wife's remains in that, in the tombs there. So he can have tombs for his family, for his people. But that's the only land that he owned. Not only that, but it says in verse 9, he's dwelling in tents. And not only him, but his son and his grandson. Abraham never got the land that was promised to him. He never had ownership in that land that was promised. But God's promised it, and he believed it. And he, even his son, even his grandson, never had it. In fact, it was Joseph that went to Egypt and then brought the family there. It was another 400 years before anything happened then, before he came back to that land and possessed it. So you see, God's timing isn't always our timing. Abraham never got what God said he was going to get physically. But do you know what his motivation was? And this is the cool part, because this is our motivation too. Look at the next verse. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He wasn't looking for the promised land so that he could build a house. He lived in a tent. I would rather not live in tents all the time, you know? We were talking about our fishing trip last night. And we love going up there and going fishing. And you know, if I could take a king-size mattress with us and take it on that canoe, and then it wouldn't be so bad, you know? As it is, I take a blow-up mattress, which is heavy enough, but hey, you got to draw the line somewhere. But I used to sleep on the ground. And you know, ground isn't near as appealing anymore. But being in a tent when it's raining like today isn't quite as appealing either. When we were, how many kids did we have? Remember when we went to Lacey? We lived in Burlington. We had, I think, 3 kids. And we went to Lacey. I borrowed a tent. Never borrow your brother's tent. Ever. I borrowed his tent, and we went to Lacey. We lived in Burlington, went to Lacey. We had Ben, Jake, and Emily. And we camped. And it did this. And everywhere I put Jacob, it dripped. So in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning, Jacob's hollering, well, it's dripping right on Jacob. So I moved Jacob over here. And it starts dripping right over here. I don't know what it was about that, but it dripped everywhere. Living in a tent all the time wouldn't be as exciting as you think it might be. But Abraham was doing it. And Abraham was content to do it because God said it. But he was content to do it because of what it says here, verse 10. Because he was looking, and that word looking is it's in the middle voice, which means Abraham in and of himself was looking, was expecting. It's a word that means anticipate or expecting. He was expecting, and it's in the imperfect tense, which means it happened over and over in the past. He was always in the past and in the present. He was always expecting this to happen. What was he expecting? He was expecting The city, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And I think it says the city which has foundations because his tent didn't have foundations. Tents don't have foundations. I mean, they've got stakes. You can put the stakes in the ground and you can say, well, yeah, my foundation goes down what? 6 inches? 8 inches? Yeah. No. The city here has foundations and architect and builder is God. You know, we're talking about heaven. He's talking about heaven. So when Abraham left what he knew, what he was familiar with, and followed what God desired and didn't care where he went, he wasn't focused on where he went where God led, and then God said, I'm going to give you all of this. Abraham didn't say, you know what, if you're going to give it to me now, because I want to live in a city. I want to live in a house. I want to live in something permanent. I want to have permanent dwelling. He didn't say that because he was looking ahead. He was forward looking. He knew that his true city, his true dwelling was heaven. What did Paul say in Corinthians? Remember what he said, that, hey, I'm here. I would much rather die and be at home. But I know that God has me here so that I can minister to you. But whether I'm at home in heaven or in this tent, he chose to use a tent for his body. Of course, he was a tent maker. He said, if I'm in this tent here on earth, whatever I am, wherever I am, I want to be well-pleasing to God. There was his motivation. Why? Because I have a home in heaven where foundations are set, where there's a city there where we're going to live eternally. Abraham had this same motivation that we can have. Isn't this fun? I mean, in everything that we go through here on earth, you look at Abraham and what he went through. He had the promises of God, and yet he didn't see him. He couldn't grab him, and yet he was willing to obey what God's word said, what his word was. Now, with him, God spoke to him. With us, we get God's word from his word. You have all of God's word right here. This is how God speaks to us today. And the reason that we obey is because we know what we have in heaven. Because we know what is laid up for us. Because there's the motivation for faith. What is faith? Assurance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? Heaven with God. Conviction of things not seen. Have we seen heaven? No, but we know we have evidence in our hand right here that heaven is true. That God wants us to be his children. That he desires to use us. That he wants to show his love to the world through us. You realize that? That little chorus that we sang. Bring some soul today. Why? Because people need the Lord. And we have the Lord. It's much like God wanted to use Israel to draw other nations to himself. And Israel said, we have God. You other nations are stupid. I'm sorry, bad word. You other nations are not godly. Silly, thank you. You other nations are wrong, so you can't have our God. That's not our attitude. That can't be our attitude. Our attitude has to be, look, we have Christ. Here he is. It's a free gift. You can have him too. You can have him too. Yeah, I heard something yesterday. Or the day before, it was on the radio, and it was something about, how we as church people are haters. We're so hateful because we don't accept or whatever some lifestyle or something. Hey, whatever it was, all I could think of was you know what? If we truly are hateful, then that's not anywhere near what God desires. That's how we're perceived. Because we don't accept an action that God says is wrong. But is that true? No, it's not. Because we're to show God's love to the world. For God so loved just part of the world, just the world that acts right, right? No, God so loved the world. So we show love to the world. So do we accept wrong things that God says are wrong? No, absolutely not. But we accept because were it not for God's grace, we would be in the same mire. We would. In fact, some of us have come out of that mire, whatever it is. And some of us like to stick our feet in it still, right? Because we have a tendency to follow the flesh. And we look at Abraham's life. We were doing that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. But we look at Abraham's life and see, well, Abraham followed God. He showed it, but then he failed. He lied. Well, then he followed it, but then he told his wife to lie. But then so Abraham didn't live a perfectly sinless life, which is fun because Sarah didn't either. And that's the next deal, and I don't know if I should get to that or not. See, that's what I was talking about. Yes, let's do it. Verse 11. Let's look at Sarah, because I've already got on away from my notes here. Verse 7. 11. 10. 11. Verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself, and by the way, that's very emphatic, herself, she received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. By faith, even Sarah herself. You see, I wanted you to remember that, because when we look back at Sarah's account in Genesis, only thing we see is, hey, she laughed. Hey, she didn't really trust God because she gave Abraham Hagar. We forget that Abraham took Hagar, said, oh, what a good idea. And it's turned out horrible. In fact, that's the father of the Arab nations that are always against Israel. But Sarah was never seen as somebody who was really... But then, remember, Abraham laughed too. He laughed when God said, hey, you're going to have a son from Sarah. He's okay. Well, Sarah did too. Of course, Sarah lied about it. But... We look at Sarah's life and say, well, you know, I'm not seeing this huge faith life here. But she's here in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a great faith hall of fame. And she's here because it says she received ability. Received means lambano. She took it. She actively took this ability, and the word ability is dunamis. It's from the word dunamis. It's power. She received power. She grabbed hold of this power. She took this power to conceive. I believe that's what it says. Yeah, to conceive. Even beyond the proper time of life. She was too old. She should not have been able to have a baby, and yet she did. Since she considered him faithful. Now, some commentators said, well, that she there is actually he. Since he considered him faithful. In other words, since Abraham considered him faithful, that faith went off onto Sarah. But I don't think you can show that from here, because it says Sarah herself received this ability. since she considered, and to consider is to have a view that he is faithful who had promised. And the reason is because just like we were talking about in the Sunday school this morning, Abraham's servant, and how he got to see God work in Abraham's life. Well, here's Sarah. She got to see how Abraham worked too, or how God worked in Abraham too. She got to see all the promises and all that God had done for her husband, Abraham. But whether it was her or him, I believe it was his talking about her. I've commentators that don't believe that. But she considered him faithful who had promised. In other words, God promised she was going to have a son. Okay, well, I must be going to have it through my servant, because that's the culturally accepted way. Wrong. It didn't work. Didn't work good. Worked bad, in fact. No, I must be going to have him then. And so she did. She's put in here for this. Look at verse 12. Therefore, because of all of this faith life stuff, also there was born of one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead at that. We talked about that this morning too. The fact that at that point in Abraham's life, he's 100, he shouldn't have been able to have a baby. He shouldn't have been able to make a baby. And yet he was. Him as good as dead, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. In other words, you can't even count how many descendants he had. And this was God's promise once he got there. You can't even count how many descendants you're going to have. And it happened. We look back now, we say, oh, it's true. Because think about it. How many descendants have there been since Abraham? You can't number them because, okay, at that point, there were maybe 500. Well, later on, there were 2 million. Well, later on, and in 40 years, the whole cycle went through another quite a few million and then grown. And ever since then, how many descendants have there been? This was God's promise. And God said it will happen. But did you notice he used Abraham and Sarah? People like us. People like us who say, yeah, I believe in God, and then we do something that shows we have very little faith. But he brings us back to the place where we say, you know what, God does have faith. I can trust God. And that's why we need to get into his word and say, what do you want for me, God? What do you desire in my life? And get into his word and where it says, love others. Where it says, do good to those who despitefully use you. Where it says, be honest. Where it says, honor your father and mother. Where it says, take those to heart. Take those as God's word that they are and utilize them. Where Jesus said in his commission to the disciples, says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Where does all the world start? Oh, by the way, the going is a preposition. All these things are just in what you are doing, make disciples. There's the verb, make disciples. And he says in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to there. Why does he say that? Because we need to start in Jerusalem. We need to start in Bonaparte. We need to start in Van Buren County. We need to start where we're at. And as we do that, it expands. As we do that, the word expands. But we start right here where God gives us an opportunity to start. God uses us where we are. And you know why we start? You know why we serve? You know why we do that? Because we're looking at heaven. We're looking at the fact that God said we will be with him, reign with him there, and that's true. That's where we'll be. You know, as much as I hate funerals. I don't like death. I don't like anything about it. It's something that happened because of sin. I understand that, and I don't like it. But when you have, we had Vicky's funeral. We had, I look at the funerals that I've done for folks that love God, know God. And they had such assurance that God was true when he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is such a great motivation to say, you know what, whatever's going on here, I can be living in a tent, I can be in the wrong place, I can have problems going on, issues going on, and yet I know I have evidence of things not seen. I know that what I can't see is heaven. I know it's true. Because God said it's true. Therefore, I can go through these issues. I can go through these circumstances. I can live through that. Live God's way through it. And let God handle whatever is going on. Let him lead me wherever he's leading me. Let him show me whatever he's showing me. But I can trust my Father. If you have Christ as your Savior, take that for your motivation of faith. I can trust my Father. I can trust him. I can follow his word. I can see from his word what he desires in my life, the qualities that he desires, the gifts that he gives, the spiritual armor that I'm to have. And I can take that and I can serve him because I know where I'm going to be. I know I'm going to be home in heaven and that there is heaven and he is waiting for me. Let that be your motivation, just like it was with these guys. He is there. He is desiring. We're looking for a city with foundations that go beyond the rain. We're looking for a city with foundations so deep I don't have to worry about my basement. We're looking for that city with foundations so set that there is no enemy that can ever overtake it. We're not just looking for it. We know it's there. We know it. So that's our focus. That was Abraham's focus. He wasn't focused on where he was going on this earth. He was focused on where he's going eternally. So what happens on this earth wasn't a big deal. What happens there is great. If you've never trusted in Christ, you need to have that motivation too. You can have it. You can have it. And all there is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive that gift of salvation, because he holds it out freely. And you can have that assurance of things hoped for, evidence, conviction of things not seen. You can have that. He promises that. He will give that to you, because that's what faith is. And faith is the same word as believe, the same word as trust. So if you've never trusted in Christ, please ask me, ask somebody that you know who's a Christian. They'll tell you the same thing. They'll show you how you can have that relationship with God in Christ Jesus. If you have, keep standing. Keep standing firm. Keep following what God says in his word, because you have a place in a city. You have a city coming with foundations that are built by God. You notice that's what it says, architect and builder. So it wasn't just that God let Satan do the architectural work and he built on what Satan said. No, he not only was a builder, he was the architect. So we know that the architecture of the city is right. It was architecturally sound, but we also know that the building was right. I mean, he didn't design the building architecturally wise and say, okay, Satan, you go ahead and build it. No, he didn't do that. He did it. He did it all. And it's heaven. And it's where we desire to be, because we are with him. We will be with him. And we will be like him, because we'll see him as he is. Isn't it fun? This world isn't the end all. Isn't that cool? We don't have to dwell on just everything here. We can look to what we truly are, who we truly are, and what we truly get. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this example from Abraham and Sarah. Lord, it's amazing what you have done. You have gifted us with righteousness, and you have promised us a place with you. And Father, what we have here on this earth doesn't even hold a candle to what we have in heaven. And yet we get so caught up on this earthly stuff. You got to do this, you got to do that, and we have to get this done. And yet, Father, we have to know where we're going. We got to know exactly where we're going. We got to know exactly what you're going to do in our life. Lord, we trust you. No, I don't know where I'm going. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, but Father God, I don't know where you're going to lead exactly. I don't know how you're going to lead, but I know that you're going to lead in such a way that it will be best for me. It won't be better physically. Though Abraham, you know, when you called Abraham out, he went automatically, but he didn't go because it's going to be a better place to live, because it wasn't. And it was a harder place to live, and it was more difficult. So our aspect of what's better isn't always your aspect of what's better. So Father, help us to keep in mind the city that has foundations, where you're the architect and you're the builder, and we will be there. And when we keep that in mind, then this tent living isn't quite near as bad as we think. Thank you so much that we have a promise, and that it's come from you, and that will give us motivation to, by faith, be led. We love you. Help us to know what your word says so that we can be led. In Jesus' name, amen.